Hallelujah, hallelujah. Father, we are truly grateful. We thank you so much for the grace you have given us and for the hunger and the desire you put in our heart to seek after your face. Father, thank you for everyone on this line. Thank you so much for the sacrifice that goes forth out of this altar. Again, we thank you for your grace that have sustained this 24/7 prayer. We thank you, O God, for the grace that has kept us as we continue to serve in your vineyard. Father, we pray that you continue to equip, empower, and anoint us, O God, to fulfill all you've called us to do. Have your way tonight, and may you alone always receive the glory for all that you do. Thank you for your presence tonight. Thank you. In Jesus' name. Amen. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Amen. Thank you all so much for making time to be on this line. I believe that without a doubt, we all know that we are living definitely in the last days. But God has chosen us and He knew that we'll be living in such a time as this, and God has prepared the vessels that He wants to use in these last days. And we thank God that we are privileged to be partakers of His divine nature through the blood of His Son. So may we continue to allow the Lord to strengthen us, and I pray that God is giving you grace to do all you're doing, you know, taking care of your household, your family, your husbands, your wives, your job. Whatever you're doing, I pray that God will continue to give you the grace and to be able to be on these lines also. Tonight, you know, we've been sharing and we've been focusing a lot on the revelation of the blood, on sonship. We're just going to touch a few areas tonight, but I feel we need to pray a specific prayer point tonight, based on the teachings and based on the teachings we've been going through. Tonight, I just want us to pray some of those, just one particular prayer point to help us embrace some of the things that we've been learning. But I just want to quickly go through back again to repeat some of the things that we've been covering. And the first place I want to read and bring to your attention again is our scriptures in Galatians chapter 4. The reason that I keep bringing this up is because it is so clear in this passage that Paul is trying to convey a very clear message that if we choose not to be transformed or to renew our mindset, we can be limited in our effectiveness as God's children in the area of spiritual warfare. So in Galatians again, where Paul is saying that though we are heirs, we are God's children, we are God's seed, but he says as long as we have the mindset, we're still children in our thinking. It says, even though we carry the DNA and the very blood and the very authority of God in us as sons, it says our mindset can limit our ability to be effective as children of God, as heirs of God. So, again, the word Paul used there was, it says, though we are children, we can have the mindset of a slave, though we carry the mantle of authority. And it says, but after going through the schoolmaster, after going through the training, we'll come to a place where we now have the mindset, the understanding of sonship. At that point, we now begin to exercise our authority as heirs of God. If we look at that in a house, in a royal house, where we have been called now into the position of son, into the position of sonship. What Paul is saying is, if we are sons in a house, and in that same house there are servants, that operate. He says, as long as we have the mind of a slave, our limitation in the spirit will be that of a servant. Basically saying, servants or slaves don't have inheritance, but inheritance belongs to sons, belongs to children, belongs to the bloodline. Inheritance comes as a result of a bloodline, and inheritance only belongs to bloodline. He says, so as long as we are children, we still limit ourselves from not really walking in the power of the bloodline of Jesus, of the sonship of Jesus. And then it can affect our vision and the revelation on the prayer point for our inheritance, for the things that we demand from God and the things that we demand Satan to lose in our life, things that we want to plunder in Satan's kingdom. We can be limited in that. And basically, in a house where a servant is, the servant does not have the authority to demand inheritance from the king or from the owner of the house. A servant cannot come to the king or come to the throne and say, give me my inheritance. I am heir to your throne. I need inheritance. So a servant cannot ask for inheritance, but a son can boldly step into the position of, when he's matured, ask that royal throne for inheritance. So in the area of spiritual warfare, in Psalms chapter 2, David was describing an atmosphere of prayer, a position of spiritual warfare that only sons can ask for. Here it says in Psalms chapter 2, it says, ask of me, and I shall give thee the hidden for thy inheritance and the uttermost part of the earth for thy possession. Ask of me, and I will give thee the hidden for thy inheritance and the uttermost part of the earth for thy possession. Now, the scripture before that, David says, verse 7, I will declare the decree. The Lord has said unto me, thou art my son. This day have I begotten thee. And then 8 says, ask of me, I shall give thee the hidden for thy inheritance and the uttermost part of the earth for thy possession. So, in spiritual warfare, which is the reason why Paul was sharing this to the Galatian church, is because the first teachings we did long time ago, some of you might not have been there, were sharing the different levels of spiritual operation. Paul says, I know of a man in the body or out of the body, I know not, who was caught up in the third heaven. So we know that the third heaven is the throne room of God, the presence of God, the place where John revealed in the book of Revelation, where the throne room and all these things were. Then we know that in Ephesians chapter 6, Paul also talks about, he says, we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against rulers of darkness, then against wicked spirits in the heavenlies. So we know that there is another level in the heavenlies where wicked spirits operate from. That's in the second heaven, which is the satanic atmosphere. Now, the earthly atmosphere where the oxygen is where we are. So in spiritual warfare, by us being adopted into the kingdom of God as God's children, our position is in the throne room of God. Our position is right in the presence of the Lord, in the throne room of God. In Hebrews Paul put it this way, he says that God has made a way for us, a new and a living way through the blood of Jesus, where we can now come into the Holy of Holies, into the Holy of Holies. We now have access through the blood of Jesus as adopted sons and daughters of God. We now have a position, we now have a place in the throne room, in the very presence of the Lord. In the very presence of the Lord. So that's where heaven rules from. That's the place of authority. In that position where Jesus sits at the right hand of the Father and God sits on the throne room, that's where in our prayer we are able to access. That's where we're able to connect to in the Spirit. Every other thing below that is the level, the second level is the level of the fallen angels, or what you call fallen servants of God. Fallen servants of God. So what Paul is saying to us in this Galatians is that in our mindset, in the area of prayer, if we do not pray as people that are totally in alignment, in agreement with that place, with that position as sons, agreeing with God. Because, in that position of agreeing with God, there are certain things that we cannot really overthrow in the realm of the Spirit. And there's certain things that will continue to resist our spiritual warfare. Let me explain a little bit more. Paul was writing to the Ephesian church, the very church that it was in Ephesus. Paul fought a mighty spiritual principality. We'll call it the Diana of Ephesus. And it was after that this revival broke out in Ephesus. And it was in this church of Ephesus Paul explained this satanic hierarchy in Ephesians chapter 2. But in Ephesians chapter 1, again, connecting to Galatians, Paul was trying to call the attention of the church to a position, a place of sonship in the area of warfare. He started by saying to them here, this prayer that we're going to pray today, in Ephesians 1, he says, Wherefore I also, after I heard of your faith in the Lord Jesus, and love unto all saints, cease not to give thanks for you, making mention of you in my prayers, that the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of glory, may give unto you, unto me, the spirit of wisdom and revelation in the knowledge of him, the eyes of our understanding being enlightened, being opened, that I may know what is the hope of his calling and what the riches of the glory of his inheritance in the saints. And what is the exceeding greatness of his power towards us who believe, according to the working of his mighty power, which he wrought in Christ when he raised him from the dead and set him at his own right hand in the heavenly place. That is the position of his lordship right now. In his own right hand, in the heavenly places, far above all principalities and power and might and dominion and every name that is named, not only in this world, but also in that which is to come, and had put all things under his feet and gave him to be the head over all things to the church, which is his body, the fullness of him that filleth all in all. Now, we'll continue chapter 2. And this is, he just talked about Christ now. Then chapter 2, he says, verse 1, and you had he quickened, you had he given life, who were dead in trespasses and sin, that's us, wherein in time past We walked according to the course, the agenda of this world, according to the prince of the power of the air, the spirit that now walketh, still walking in the children of disobedience. Verse 3, among whom also we all had our lifestyle, our conversation in time past, in the lust of our flesh, fulfilling the desires of the flesh and of the mind, and were by nature the children of wrath, even as others. But God, who is rich in mercy, for his great love wherewith he loved us, even when we were dead in sin, had he given life, quickened us together with Christ, by grace you are saved, and has raised us up together and made us sit together in heavenly places in Christ Jesus. And he had raised us up together and made us sit together in heavenly places in Christ Jesus. So, what Paul is saying here again to the Galatian church, we are in the world, but we are not of the world. The moment before we're born again, we are still under the bondage and captivity of the fallen nature. And of course, the soul that sinneth shall die under the darkness of our soulish realm. But Paul is saying, Christ has overcome and God has placed him and put him in a position in heaven far above every other thing. And now, as Paul says, before we were born again, we were still under the blanket and the control of the prince of this world. And we are subject to the wiles and the deceitfulness of the system of this world, which Satan controls. Say, but now, when we get born again, like Paul is saying, he says in Galatians chapter 4, he says, when we get born again, something has changed. Immediately, we now become God's sons and daughters. We are God's children. Now by nature inside of us. He says, but our mind, if it's not renewed to understand by faith who we now are, we will not be able to take our position correctly in the things of the Spirit. Paul says, we are born again, but in our mindset, we still think that Satan still has control over us and over the world. Like he says here, wherein in time past we walked according to the course of this world, according to the prince of the power of the air, the spirit that now works in the children of disobedience. It meaning that Satan used to, because we didn't have God, he used to control the world and dominates the world with sin. He said, but now that we are born again, we are now totally God's children inside of us. And as God's children, God has given us the spirit of sonship, whereby we now call God Abba Father. We are now seated in the position of sons and daughters of God. Where Jesus is seated at the right hand of the Father, we now have that privilege by faith, because we still live in this flesh. But by faith, we look beyond the flesh and we see the position where Jesus is, and that's where sons and daughters connect with God. We are the only people who can literally call God Father. And that's why when Jesus was teaching the secret of prayer, he says, when you pray, say, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name, thy kingdom come, thy will be done. Only those who know that they are sons and daughters can approach God as a father. This is not imagination. Paul is saying it has to be real to you by transformation that God is your father. And the more you understand that God is your father, God is our father, he says our prayer will begin to take a level of spiritual authority that we never knew before. And that's when Jesus described, he says, based on the revelation of sonship, you will begin to operate with the keys of the kingdom. In other words, keys, if you live in a house where your father, lives, or your father, you live in a house where is your home. You have keys, you have access to go in and out whenever you want to come in, because you are a child of the house. So, and whatever belongs to your father, you have access towards those things. Especially when he passes away, you automatically step into the position to inherit that. So Paul is saying here that to the Ephesian church, he says, I know your faith, I know your love, but there is a place that you must understand. I know you were once Gentiles. You were once people who came out of the world. I know now you love people, you are serving, you're doing stuff, but in the things of the Spirit, there are grounds we still need to take. But for us to take these grounds, we need to understand our position in the Spirit. And that is the place of sonship, the place that is far above all principalities and powers. That's the position of sonship. So Paul was sharing this with the Ephesian church, but there was a prayer he had to pray for them to understand partly why they are struggling with this. Mindset is perception. And how you perceive something, if you think that you are a slave, you're going to act like a slave. And if you think that you are a son, you are going to act like a son. You're going to approach things like a son. So Paul is praying, he says, that our spiritual eyes will open to the level where we will begin to perceive the victory that Jesus has done. And then we begin to enter into the realm of that victory, because now Jesus has given us a place in him as joint heirs to the throne of God. A place through his blood where victory has already been offered. And we need to stand in that place. We are not to contend with Satan as if we are fighting. When we pray, especially when we're dealing with spiritual warfare or praying against over a city or the nation, we should not pray like we are praying against somebody that needs to be defeated again. But because he's already been defeated by Jesus, and Jesus has overcome the power of sin, our prayer now, our perception of prayer, should come from the position of victory. We should be coming from the position of demanding our inheritance, demanding for Satan to lose, we're demanding to plunder, we're demanding to say, we are confronting somebody that has stolen or somebody that has taken advantage of us. We are confronting the person to release what he has stolen or to release what is not belong to him, in that fashion. So tonight, again, there's another position with this prayer, with this position of sonship. You see, in heaven, from the book of Revelation, you can see all the descriptions of what happens in heaven, the worship that takes place before the throne room of God, and the Lamb that sits on the right hand of God, and the angels that worship, and the elders, they fall down before the throne. And you see there's a worship, there is a communion, there's a fellowship that goes on. Now, here is how Jesus described, again, the position of sonship. And this is in the book of John chapter 5 with a woman at the well. The woman, you all know the story of the woman at the well. When he came to Jesus, he says, Jesus was sharing this with this woman about the hunger in her heart. The hunger in this woman's heart that cannot be satisfied by any form of worldliness. And he told the woman, he says, I have this water to give to you that when you drink of it, you will not thirst again. And the woman said, okay, give me this water. You know, and then Jesus started sharing. And as they continued, and Jesus told this woman that the time is now, that God is looking for true worshipers who will worship him in spirit and in truth. For such are those that God is looking for. That word worship there is the word for fellowship, for communion. For communion. It's a relationship between sons and daughters. And in Psalms 49, David also revealed this kind of worship and this kind of praise in the area of communion as a spiritual warfare. He talks about when we commune with God in the level of the fellowship between sons and daughters in worship, he says something happens in the heavens. Something happens in the heavens. And he says kings and principalities are chained. They are bound with chains. They are bound with chains. You know, when we worship the Lord, when we adore the Lord. In other words, as God's children, there is a position that Paul was describing in Ephesians chapter 2, where we sit with the Lord, is a place of worship, a place where when we come in spiritual warfare, when we come because we carry the DNA of the Lord, the blood of the blood of Jesus, when we sit and we say, oh, Lord, I worship you. I give you glory. I give you honor. Father, I have come to honor you as your son, as your son. You begin to worship the Lord. You immediately switch your position from a fleshly man to a spiritual man. You switch your position from a slave to a son. He says, when we take this position of worship or we take this position of prayer, he says, immediately, angels begin to work on our behalf. Angels are released and they begin to bind principalities and powers. And in Hebrews chapter 1, he says, these are ministering spirits that minister to the heirs of salvation. Meaning, when we enter into the position of sons and daughters of God as heirs to God's throne, then angels begin to do their position, which is to serve. Angels begin to serve the sons and daughters of God. And that is, they begin to go on our behalf to war and to bring forth the things of our inheritance, the things that belong to us. So this prayer about the blood in these last days is so crucial that we understand that God wants to change our mindsets to sons and daughters of God, that we carry the blood of Jesus in these last days, that we carry the position of sonship. And when we pray, when we do whatever we do, we are not trying to pray or confront the devil like we're trying to fight a fresh battle, but to confront him as somebody that is violating our right, somebody that is stolen something that has to be released, somebody that it must be arrested and must be things that are in satanic hands must be released, must be demanded. So in Psalms chapter 2 verse 8, it says, ask of me and I will give you the nations, the heathens as your inheritance, and the uttermost part of the earth as your possession. So my brothers and sisters, this is where this prayer, Paul, in Ephesians, will come in. As we pray tonight for our eyes to be open, let us begin to see the nations. Let us begin to see the possessions, whatever is in the hands of the world, whatever the nations have, whatever unbelievers, the position of unbelievers, let us begin to see with the eyes of God. Let us begin to see with the eyes of sonship. In other words, the Satan does not own our cities.
Satan does not own your city. Satan does not own the nations. It doesn't matter where they are. God owns everything. And initially it was stolen through fall. But now Jesus has paid the price, and God is saying, because now we should take the position as representatives of Jesus on earth and pray, God, our Father, let your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. We are demanding, we are claiming our cities. We are claiming and we are taking the positions of sons and daughters, ambassadors. We are demanding the souls of our city. We are demanding the souls of our family. We are demanding the souls of the nation. We are asking, oh God, that you restore the things that rightfully belong to sons and daughters. We are asking, we are demanding it because we are your blood. We are demanding it because we are your sons and daughters. We are demanding it because we have the legal right. When we begin to pray with that understanding, God is saying through the scriptures, angels will begin to go into war on our behalf. Angels will begin to go and become effective in making sure demonic assignments and satanic strongholds are being demolished, are being attacked by angelic forces because of the mindset and because of the kind of prayer we're praying. So in these last days, the Bible says the earth will groan. Everything will be calling for sons of God, for the manifestation of sons of God. For people who will begin to pray, God, deliver. God, save. God, rescue. God, do this. I'm not saying that these things will happen overnight. You know, there is a war and there's a fight, which is a fight of faith. It's a way we have to be praying. But we have to be consistent with it. We have to be persistent with it. We have to stay with it until we begin to see the different changes take place around the atmospheres we are demanding this. Amen? So that's the prayer. I just want to pray that God will cause our eyes to be open so that these things that we're receiving, we should be... You see, you cannot agree with God unless you see from his point of view. You cannot bind, he says, whatsoever you bind on earth is bound in heaven. Whatsoever you lose on earth is loose. You see, for heaven to agree with you, you have to see things from heaven's eyes. For heaven to obey, you have to do things based, you are in agreement with heaven. Okay, you are in agreement with heaven. And let me use, I know I'm just kind of running here and there. But let me give one example of what I'm trying to say about the position of our perception in the place of sonship about this prayer. There was, you all know the story of Elisha. Elisha will receive a word and give it to the king of Israel. So the Syrians king did not know why their armies were not effective. When they try to do something, they notice that somebody has leaked the agenda. So the king started saying, "Who is betraying us? Who is leaking? Who is betraying our strategy, our plan?" And somebody said, "No, nobody. There's a man in Israel that reveals these things to the king." So he sent a whole chariots of army. He sent chariots, he sent soldiers after Elisha. When they came, they surrounded where Elisha was. And Elisha's servant came out and saw the armies of the Syrians surrounding them. And he was afraid. That's our flesh, man. That's in the realm of the natural sight. So see, this servant was taking a position of a slave. You know, he looked and he saw that there were enemies' army all over the place. But then when he came, he called Elijah. You know, he was afraid. And Elijah immediately looked at him and said, and prayed. And this is the prayer Elijah prayed. And this, that was in the Old Testament. But in the New Testament, this is the prayer Paul is praying for the church. In the Old Testament, Elijah said, Lord, open the eyes of my servant. In other words, change the position of his perception. Change his mindset. Change, open the eyes of my servant. Which eyes is Elijah praying for him to open? To open the eyes of his spiritual identity. And so when God opened his eyes, the young man saw chariots of fire surrounding Elisha all over the place. And immediately he took that position where he saw in the spirit what was behind Elisha's life. Immediately he took a position of peace. And immediately Elijah prayed a simple prayer that God would cause the eyes of the people to be blinded. And their eyes were blinded and he led them. You know the story. So the point I'm saying is Elijah did not need to pray for his eyes to be open. Elisha has already stepped into a place where his eyes were already open. And he understood his position in the spirit that angels encamp around him as an ambassador of Christ in the Old Testament. But he had to pray for the eyes of his servant to be open. And when the eyes of his servant opened, then the servant came in the same position that Elisha was. So two of them now are seeing from the perception from where they are positioned as God's children. So what Paul is saying here is this. Paul is saying, hey, God has revealed to me who I am in Christ. And because of this reality of sonship, I have fought battles, I've fought wars. I understand the position of principalities and power. But I also understand what Jesus has done. And I understand that Jesus has opened my eyes and I can now come, just like Elisha's servant now came into the very position of Elisha, where Elisha sees things from. He said, Paul is saying, Jesus has opened my eyes. I see things from where Jesus sees things from. So I'm praying for the church that your eyes will be open so that you too can see things from where I'm seeing it from, so that your spiritual warfare can be effective. So that's the prayer of spiritual understanding coming. So that's position. If you understand that the servant of Elijah changing his position to Elijah's position, that's exactly what Paul is saying to us about what Christ has done and why, if our eyes open, we will see why Paul, this man was not just knowledge, how this man was able to pray and see cities totally shifted into the hands of God. From city to city, Paul was taking over territories for the kingdom and was dethroning powers and was causing city after city to be turned to God. Literally turned the world upside down. And he was saying, I did not do it in my strength. I did not do it because of my righteousness. My eyes were open to my sonship, my position as the Son of God, and the very power of the blood that has given me access to that place. And with that understanding and with that perception, I'm able to war. And angels walk with me to displace the spiritual powers. And then the eyes of the people in those cities and in that area are open to the gospel. So my brothers and sisters, you know, Paul was a human being like us that got saved. And he is now telling us his personal experience and is now praying for us as believers to come into this place of maturity so that in these last days, we can be very, very effective as God begins to reap the harvest of this hour. Amen. So I just want to pray with us so that whatever we are receiving, whatever we are learning, that God will begin to activate that understanding in us. That these things will not just be knowledge to us, but they will continuously help us as we pray and in everything we do, we will have, we are seeing results
that are causing our faith to grow and causing our mindset to truly shift and believe that this thing is not a joke, it's not a game, it's not knowledge, it's something that has been finished for us. And now our eyes are beginning to see it, our hearts are believing it, and we are beginning to live in it. Before we pray, what I just share with you, like I'm saying, we are all learning, we are all growing. But when the Lord was opening my understanding to this, I started applying it privately, and later I started bringing some other people into prayer in this area. We started using our city as a guinea pig. Just to, you have to start somewhere. I would try that in my personal life, but later I started trying it. I right now, I'm not saying it's just me. We're talking about people that have been praying in this region. But our city is unbelievable transformation. The seven mountains of influence in this city is completely managed and overseen by Christians. From education to government to business to everything. This thing you call church and state. If you visit this city, like if you go with us every Friday, we take prayer to the different fairs of influence in our city. We have intercessors that come together every Friday, and we go to different, whether it's the government, the mayor's office, or the school director, the school, to business. We do that. We cover every area, and everywhere they invite us to pray. Our school, before they started school, they invited churches to come and prayer walk the school. We assign people to prayer walk every school in the county. We assign people to prayer walk business places. These are by their invitation. There is no limit to what and where you can pray in this place. Because after so much prayer, the atmosphere of this city has been saturated and pressure has been put over the demonic realm, so that we have liberty to exercise some. I'm not saying there are not evil taking place, but there is liberty to operate in the things of God at will in this region. And that's because of seasons and times of just praying and different prayer ministries being trained. And just like in this city, there's so much prayer going on. This 9/11, we are organizing like citywide 24/7 prayer for 7 days. And we are focusing on education from the lowest to the highest high school. And students are leading it. You know, so these are things that are being manifested. So now we model it to the region. So we spread it a little bit to the region. So what the Lord is doing now is he says, let's begin to connect with intercessors across the nation. And let's begin to bring this understanding. And even if we have the understanding, let's begin to join together and begin to apply it over the nation and over our cities. So that's why God is opening this door for us to continue to learn together, but also to believe what we're hearing and to apply what we're believing so that we can see the results that we are expecting. And I know that things are going to change. Again, before we pray, I want to encourage you, if nothing changes the atmosphere of the nation before we get to October gathering, I want to encourage you to do what you can to be there. By God's grace, in a grand environment like that, for the prayer training, I'll be sharing some things with you about, you know, the spiritual condition of the nation and exactly what and where and what is about to happen in this kind of sharing we're talking about. So you'll be really encouraged. So try to be there. Try to encourage intercessors to come that has been praying for a long time. There's going to be such a on-ground revelation and sharing that we cannot really do justice over the phone. As we move into the season we're seeing on the ground now between 2014 and 2015, you know. So let's come together as an army and receive some amazing understanding where God is taking this army to. Amen. Father, I thank you in the name of Jesus. Father, I come in agreement with the very prayer of your son, your servant, Paul.
I thank you, Father, for the mysteries and the revelations that you unfolded to this your general in warfare. I thank you, Father, in the name of Jesus, that you are the same yesterday, today, and forever. Father, that which you did through David in his days, that he dethroned giants. Father, that which you did to Paul, and he totally dethroned principalities and powers and opened cities for your kingdom. Father, you are still the same God, because you said it's not by might, it's not by power, but it's still the work of your Spirit. But you're calling us to walk in such faith, in alignment with the provisions of your blood, that, Lord, we will not fight like merely human beings, but we will take the position of victory you've given us by faith. And Father, declare, O God, the power of your finished work, so that your angels can begin to do what they have been assigned to do on our behalf. Father, to strip principalities and powers of their positions over our city. Father, we are believing you to give us, oh God, the strategic understanding, Father, as we join and as we seek your face in this hour, that we can truly empower the atmospheres of our cities and saturate it with angels on assignment more than demons, oh God, that are prevailing over the minds of the people. Father, we are believing you by the blood of the Lamb and the revelation of sonship, that as we take our positions on these altars of sacrifice, Father, that like David, we will create, oh God, an atmosphere, a place that your presence is welcomed, that your glory is comfortable. Father, that your light, oh God, will shine over the atmospheres of our cities, that men that are walking in darkness and in the region of darkness will begin to see your light and begin to turn away, oh God, from the filthiness and the blindness of the satanic agendas of this world into the glorious liberty that you have provided through the blood of your Son for those who call on his name. So, Father, I thank you for this altar you have raised, for these soldiers you are bringing forth, for this army that you're preparing, a people, oh God, that you are positioning in this hour. Oh God, for this is your season of harvest, and you are calling men and women, oh God, Father, who will take the place of their royal priesthood. You're calling us to be kings and priests. You're calling us to walk in the identity of our royal position, that we are no more subject to the rudiments and the elements and the deception and the lust of this flesh and the things of this world. But you've called us, we are partakers of a nature that is heavenly. Father, that we come into the realization and revelation, as you open our eyes of understanding, that we begin to understand the hope of our calling, the identity that is rested and vested in the very blood of your Son, that we can truly begin to understand the riches and the glory and the inheritance that comes, oh God, with this blood that we have. Father, that you have given us all things that pertains to life and godliness. Father, that you have empowered us with all heavenly blessings in Christ Jesus. Father, I'm asking tonight that you begin to break down, oh God, the mindset, oh God, that we have carried for too long, that is making us contained with the things of this world. But Father, you give us a spiritual awakening in our hearts, that we are in the world, but we are no more of this world. We are of your kingdom. Father, inside of us is the very life and the nature of your Son. We are sons of God. We are sons of God. Father, we thank you that your jealousy will not allow us to remain the way we are, but in your mercy begin to render, begin to tear down down every stronghold, every reasoning, every mindset, oh God, that causes us to still be subject to the plans and the rudiments of this world. Father, help us to see that Satan has been defeated, that the blood is our legal right, our receipt, a clear seal in our lives, oh God, that we can present anywhere, and spirits, oh God, will understand that yes, we are subject to the blood of Jesus. Father, awaken us with this faith. Father, awaken us with this understanding. Father, empower us, oh God, that we truly can rest in this understanding and let your spirit do great and mighty things in these last days through us. That angels will find a place, oh God, of ministering in the midst of the heirs of salvation. Father, I thank you that this will never remain knowledge, just knowledge in our hearts, in our minds, but it will be a manifestation. It will be something that will begin to practicalize. Father, help us, oh God. Help us, Father. Continue to let the fire, the revelation of your word, to tear down every form of spiritual slavery in our mindset and begin to awaken us, our position in Christ. Jesus, above all principalities and powers. Father, help us in these last days as we are persecuted, as we are afflicted, or we are challenged by the things and by the forces of this world. I thank you that we look beyond that and we begin to see who we are. Father, give us the passion and the zeal to be willing, whatever it takes, to obey you at all costs. Father, in the name of Jesus, thank you for awakening sons and daughters in this hour. Thank you for awakening us, O God, to begin to walk and to operate with the keys of your kingdom. Father, thank you for breaking every spiritual mindset of poverty, every material poverty, every form of poverty. Father, continue to break it and continue to open us to that realm, O God, where we can be voices of inspiration to our bosses at work, where we can be instruments of encouragement to the people that you positioned around us in schools and at job places. Father, again, like Joseph was an inspiration to Pharaoh, as Daniel was an inspiration to kings in his days, Father, give us that same spirit of sonship wherever we are, that will be sensitive to truly minister to the atmospheres you have planted us in the name of Jesus. Father, thank you that we have for long, oh God, we have for long been in this position, but your time has come that you will awaken and you will bring us forth and we will begin again to walk in the reality of our divine nature. Father, again, I thank you for everyone on this line. I thank you for the hunger. I thank you for the thirst. I thank you for an army you're raising. I thank you for Isaiah 62. It is truly you who are burdened in your hearts to stand as watchmen that will not give you rest until again you restore your praise and your glory in the cities and in the nations where your children are planted. This is our time because it is your time. Arise, O God, and we will rise with you, and your glory will surely be revealed in the midst of the darkness. Thank you, Father, for your spirit that is with us. Thank you. Thank you, Holy Ghost. Thank you, Jesus. Receive all the glory and honor. And I thank you for the seal of the blood of Jesus upon everyone on this line. Father, let the fire of your jealousy contend with every enemy that contends for their inheritance. Contend with every enemy, every agent of evil that contends for their inheritance, for their sonship, for who you've called them to be. Father, I thank you that you will cause your children to rise in this hour, O God, that your jealousy will go before them as fire and contend in the gates of the enemy. In the name of Jesus. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Holy Spirit. Unite our hearts, O God, with the blood of your Son and with your unconditional love. Thank you, Father. In Jesus' name. Amen.